have a few people coming in late. Louder? Oh, maybe I need to turn it on. Okay. One, two, three. Can you hear? One, two, three. Hello? 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 Can you hear any volume? Maybe that's not a bad thing. One, two, three. Hello? Can you hear me? Is it working? Okay. All right. Okay, we're going to start this morning. It's a little bit of a class, and we have a number of people still working their way in, but that's okay. I wanted to read you, this is actually a joke. It's something funny, but it actually kind of applies a little bit to what some of the things that we have heard, particularly yesterday. There's two men that are standing on a bridge, and one's about to jump off. He's going to take his life. And the other one's trying to talk him out of it. So you got the picture of one man getting ready to jump, the other one trying to save him. So the man asks the jumper, he says, "Are you a Christian or a Hindu or a Jew or what?" The man that's getting ready to jump, he says, "I'm a Christian." And the man says, "Okay, that's a small world. Me too." He says, "Are you a Protestant, a Catholic, or Orthodox?" The jumper stands there and he says, I'm a Protestant." The man replies, "Well, me too." He says, "Well, what denomination are you?" And the jumper, he says, "I'm a Baptist." He says, "Well, praise the Lord, me too." He says, "Are you a Southern Baptist or Northern Baptist?" The jumper answers, "Well, I'm a Northern Baptist." The man replied, "Me too." They're starting to connect. He says, "Are you a Northern Conservative Baptist or Northern Liberal Baptist?" The jumper answers, "I'm a Northern Conservative Baptist." And the man replies, "Well, I am too. I am too." He says, "Well, Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes region or Northern Conservative Baptist Eastern region?" The jumper says, "Well, I'm Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes region." They're really connecting. The man says, "Well, that's amazing. I am too." He says, "Are you Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes region Council of 1879? Or Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1912. And the jumper says, "I'm the Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1912. And then the man pushes the jumper off the bridge and he says, "Die, heretic." That's kind of a dramatic joke, but that's a little bit about what Brother Miller talked about last night. As the Lord moved, people began to denominationalize truth. And it got to the point where you couldn't have unity unless you lined up. You perfectly lined up. And it had, your beliefs had to fit in a box. And people, you know, this is kind of a joke here, but as we heard yesterday, people lost their lives because they didn't believe quite the same way that this person over here did. Many people, hundreds of thousands of people lost their lives. And the Lord has called us to have unity in the church. You know, we have said we believe that all Christians are our brothers and sisters. If you name the name of Jesus, you're our brother and our sister. We do not deny God has asked us to walk a certain way. And if I have time, we're going to talk about that a little bit later. He has asked us to be faithful to a specific calling. We don't deny that. But at the same time, we don't judge anybody. You're walking with the Lord, praise the Lord. You're my brother and you're my sister. We're not going to push you off a bridge because you believe a little differently than I do. So we thank the Lord for that. I have a few different notes I'm reading here, so excuse me for looking some things up here. I have a few random thoughts here. and this will be recorded for later. Okay, some advice, some general advice for young people, general advice for everybody. And I'm going to pretty soon talk about the differences between successful people and people that aren't successful. This first concept is something we all know. It's a law of sowing and reaping. Sowing is a law. It's a law of sowing and reaping. Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So there are three laws, three steps to the law of sowing and reaping. You probably have all heard this. Here's the first one. You reap what you sow. If you plant corn, you don't harvest bananas. If you reap to the flesh, you reap to the flesh. You reap what you sow. If you sow good things, you will reap good things. If you sow bad things, you reap bad things. I mean, it's a real simple concept. This is a concept from little children to elderly people. You reap what you sow. Now, here's another concept. You reap later than when you sow. You go out there and plant a whole piece of corn and put dirt over it, water on it. Does corn just appear? No. You reap later. You don't always see the fruit. Sometimes you'll see the fruit for a generation. But you reap later than what you sow. God wants us to be patient. You know, you can't go out to your garden and get impatient and angry and yell at your garden and say, "Watermelon, why aren't you growing? Hurry up! Bananas, hurry up!" You can't do that. You reap later than when you sow. So you have to be patient, don't you? You plant good things. You worship the Lord. You come to church. You come to church camp. And you reap. And you'll reap then, but you also reap later than what you sow. The same thing with bad things. You reap a lot of bad things in your life, especially parents, when you have children. If you have a bad lifestyle, you reap a lot of bad things later than when you sow them. You know, you have a lot of bad habits as parents. You're sowing that to your children. You don't know it. And later on, you reap what you sow. It comes back. You reap later than what you sow. Now here's the other one. Here's the last step. And this can be good or it can be bad. You reap greater than what you sow. You plant one corn one piece of corn, you grow a lot of corn out of that corn. You take one apple seed, you plant it, they grow a whole apple tree. You reap greater than what you sow. You sow good things, put good things in that soil, or you sow the fruit of the Spirit, you will reap greater than what you sow. You plant the seeds of the flesh, you're going to reap that, and it's going to be greater than what you sow. So this is a real important life lesson. The law of sowing and reaping. You reap what you sow. You reap later than what you sow, and you reap greater than what you sow. Just a good thing to keep in mind. I'm going to just rattle off some good common sense things here. This is a command for young people, for everybody, but particularly young people. The first one goes, stop and think before you drink. But I would like to go further and say, don't drink. Just don't drink. You know, everybody's body works different. Some people can drink alcohol and never become an alcoholic. Some people, I work with a guy, can drink 3 drinks and they're hooked by fast. Your body has a propensity to become alcoholic. Some people do, some people don't. But I can guarantee, so if you drink, some of you will become, if everybody in this room began to drink alcohol, some of you, not all of you, would become alcoholics. Some of you would. You don't know which ones would. But I can give you a better number. If no one in this room drinks, none of you will become an alcoholic. Zero. If everybody drinks here, only a few of you will become an alcoholic. But who wants to be that? But if you don't drink, there's no danger at all. Alcoholism. I can use the same thing for drugs. Same way with drugs. It's like taking a paper bag up here. And in that paper bag, a big bag, a great big bag, I drop in one poisonous snake. And I'll drop in some snakes that aren't poisonous, too. Maybe this is a silly example. And I shake that bag up, and I reach in there to grab a snake and pull one out. If one of them out of 10 is poisonous, I have a 1 in 10 chance of getting bit by a poisonous snake. Well, I don't know about you, I don't even want to take that chance. Would it be better to take your chances and reach in and try to get a good snake, or would it be better to not put your hand in there? Well, it sounds simple, but young people, when you're with your friends, hey, come with me to the party. Just drink a little bit. It won't hurt you. Remember the bag full of snakes. And it's better not to reach your hand in that bag. You might say, well, I might be okay. Well, you might not be. Just don't put your hand in that bag of snakes to start with. Stay away from it. You know, the only alcohol, now if you were to drink alcohol, the Lord is not going to send you to hell for drinking it. It's just, how do I say it? Alcohol, drinking alcohol isn't a sin so much as it is stupid. It's just plain stupid. So you'll never read a scripture where it says if you drink alcohol, you're going to go to hell. But it is just stupid. Stupid, stupid, stupid. So we just don't want anybody being stupid. We want you to be wise. Okay. Don't let your parents down. They brought you up. You know, remember your parents and listen to your parents. Learn to obey your parents. The Bible commands children to obey their parents. I like that command, children obey your parents. Ephesians 6. Children are not told to understand what your mom and dad are saying. You just obey them. So you don't have to try to understand what it is. Just obey because they're protecting you. They're giving you rules that will literally save your life. You don't understand why you have those rules, and the Lord doesn't expect you to understand, but they will save your life. Same way with children and people in the church. Listen to the fathers that God put in the church. Just listen to them. Like some of the things that I'm saying today might not make sense, but just listen to them. Learn to obey, even when you don't fully understand. Be humble enough to obey. You'll be giving orders someday. You know, the great Jesus said, if you want to be great, you need to be the servant of all. I think being a servant is one of the greatest blessings a person can have. I'm talking about a spiritual servant, serving other people. Be humble enough to obey. Listen to what other people say. Because someday, you'll be getting orders someday yourself. Be a servant. Being a servant for God, being a slave for God, is the greatest blessing you can possibly have. The Bible talks about when you come into the room, we don't do this. Don't take the best seat. Take the back seat. Now, We're just the opposite here. We wish the people in the back would take the front seat. We always fill up the back first. But still, be humble. Don't show off driving. If you want to race, go to the raceway. Particularly with young people, this is something that parents need to know, and grandparents and teenagers. We don't have, I guess we don't, we have young people here, but there's something. Repeat it? Yeah. Don't show off driving. If you want to race, go to a racetrack. So, here's something that happens, young people. The number one killer of young people in the United States, it's not cancer, it's not strokes, it's car accidents. And there's a bigger story here, and I'll give you a short lesson here. We have some wonderful kids up here. We have young people. As your body develops, your brain develops, there's a section of your brain when you get into teenage years that deals with feelings. It's nothing but feelings. You're all emotion. Everything's emotional. You have very, I'm not making fun of young people. Young people up to about the age of 22 have very little wisdom. They really do. Young people will do risky behavior, and they almost can't help it. Because everything's about feeling, feeling good, peer pressure, being talked into doing something to be with your friends and to be liked by your friends, even though it's dangerous. There's been studies done where they took teenagers and asked them certain questions. What's the risk of dying if you drive 100 miles an hour without a seatbelt? And the kids will say, you know, it's an 80% chance. And then, would you drive 100 miles an hour without a seatbelt? And they would say yes. Because they know there's risky behavior, they can be hurt, they don't have the wisdom to stop it. Teenage years is a crucial, dangerous time period that as parents and grandparents and elders, we have to work real hard at getting our kids through them. If you can get your kids to 20, the part of the brain that deals with wisdom develops at about 22 to 24. So the teenage years, it's like you got to put your seatbelt on, it's going to be a bumpy ride. You get in an airplane and you're flying along and the pilot says, put your seatbelt on, we're going to have a little turbulence here. That's what the teenage years are like. They're turbulent. Hang in there. Be patient. Hang in there. Teenagers, go to your mom and dad. Go to your elders. Ask them questions and do everything you can to obey what they say. These are dangerous, critical years. People just don't use common sense. And I don't have it here right now, but young people, when it comes to sleeping together, God has designed sex, the sexual relationship. He created it, and He blessed it in marriage. Only in marriage. That's the only place that it belongs. In fact, and I won't read all the scriptures, outside of marriage, there's a curse. Inside of marriage, there's a blessing. Don't short-circuit what God's plans are. And for men and women, boys and girls, but particularly girls, girls have a high price to pay. The numbers are, if a young person, teenage years, a guy sleeps with her, she gets pregnant, the odds of her remaining in poverty for the next 11 years are like 30%. So you have like a 30% chance you will now most likely forfeit your education, your job, your future, and you will live in poverty for at least the next 11 years. That's a high price. That's a real high price. But once again, young people don't think of the risk. They only think of the moment. So you have to have a plan so you don't get into that moment. You know, we've shared this before. Never buy any lies, particularly young ladies. You're dating a guy. He says, you know, if you loved me, you would sleep with me. You have a line prepared. Prepare a line. Have it prepared. You say, okay, If you love me, you wouldn't ask me that. You wouldn't ask me to risk a disease, pregnancy, poverty, my education, my future, or your pleasure. If you love me, you wouldn't ask me. Okay, so that's one thing you can do. I'll give you another thing you can do, young ladies. We don't have pay phones anymore. You take your phone, the young man says, okay, if you love me, you would sleep with me. You say, oh, wait a minute. I pull out my phone. I want you to call Brother Bernard James here, and you ask him. If he says yes, then it's okay. Or you can pick your elders or your dad. Here's the phone number for my dad. Call him right now. Tell him what you just asked me to do. And if he says it's okay, then it's okay. Have a plan. Have a plan. Don't just react. Because in 90% of the cases, the guy gets off without any repercussions. It's the girls that pay the price. Be careful there. Don't let anyone take your life away. So be wise in those areas. Choose a date who would make a good mate. Choose a date who would make a good mate. Date, set high standards for yourself. Choose a date. Don't just, you know, a lot of teenagers, when you talk to them about, well, who would you like to date? And they'll say words like, somebody who's hot. Hot. Well, I don't know. I don't know if my wife dated anybody that was hot. I thought she was hot. I still think she is. But you date somebody that would make a good mate. Don't just date someone because they look a certain way. You look at the whole package. Look at the whole package. Set high standards. Date someone who would make good mate. Go to church faithfully. The Creator gives you the week, give Him an hour or 2 hours. Go to church faithfully. These are things you can do for success. Make it a routine part of your life to go to church every Sunday, unless there's something comes up, but go to church every Sunday. I remember years ago we were in Guyana, and we had a brother that we wanted to talk to about maybe being a deacon. And his trip was like, he had like a 2-hour trip down the river to get to where church was. And so we did, and we asked him to stay after church, and so we could talk, and okay, he did. And then we found out he had to wait all day for the tide to go back out so he could go back home. But he would take this canoe down the river 2 hours. And then I thought of all the people I know that have lame excuses for not coming to church. Well, it's kind of raining today. I don't want to drive in the rain. It's kind of cold today. I don't want to go out in the cold. It's hot today. What did we hear at the start of the week? No excuses. No excuses. Go to church. This is our time to worship God. You will find that God wants to be worshipped. And when you worship Him, He will bless you. It goes both ways. If you want to be blessed, worship God. And He will return the favor. Go to church faithfully. Go to camp meetings as faithfully as you can. Young people, choose your companions carefully. You are what they are. Someone said, do you want to see what your future looks like? Look at your friends. Who are the people that you call friends? Are you associating with good people, good friends? That's your future. Are you associating with troublemakers and the popular ones and the ones that get in all kinds of trouble? Well, that's your future. Choose your friends, your companions carefully. You are what they are. Avoid following the crowd. be an engine, not a caboose. You know what that is? A train engine. The one in the front that does the pulling and leading is the engine. The one at the end of a train is called the caboose. All it does is follow. Don't be a caboose. Don't just follow. Be an engine. Don't follow the crowd. Follow the Lord. Wherever the Lord leads, follow the crowd. Be a master of your habits, or they will master you. Get control of your habits early. Good habits. Getting up early. Working hard and diligently. You know, whatever job God gives you, put your whole heart into it. You put your whole heart into it, and God will bless it. And He may have another job for you. But whatever it is, should never complain and say, this job, I just don't get paid enough, and they expect too much out of me, and I don't get to drink enough coffee, I don't get enough days off. Whatever job God gives you, do it with all of your heart. You know, I'm going to misquote this, I'm sure, but Martin Luther King, the great civil rights leader, made a statement something like this. He said, if God has called you to be a street sweeper, you should sweep the streets with the same passion that Michelangelo had when he painted the great paintings that he did, and did the David, and then he went through. You should sweep the streets with the same passion that Beethoven had when he wrote his symphonies and his music. You should sweep the streets so clean that all the angels of heaven look down and say, here lives a great street sweeper. In other words, whatever your job is, put your heart into it. And the Lord may have another job for you. It's not forever. I remember years ago, my brother worked for this manufacturing company, and it was hard work, and they didn't pay much. But my brother worked hard at it. And in the evening, you know what he did? He went looking for a better job. But he kept working hard. And all of his workers that worked with him, all they did was complain how hard the work was and they didn't get paid and blah, blah, blah. Excuses, excuses. But there's one thing they never did. They always complained and they never looked for a different job. And one day, my brother got a better job. God blessed him. But as long as he was at that company, he was going to put his heart into it while he was looking for something else. And when you go to the next job, and they say, do you have any job references? Where did you used to work? We want to call your boss and see what kind of worker you are. They could call the boss where my brother worked and say, how was this Randy Snow? What kind of a worker was he? And they could say, he was the best worker we had. So people are watching you. Put your heart into what you do. Treasure your time. Treasure your time. Don't spend it. Invest it. Invest. Use your time. Find a way to not waste your time, but to use your time effectively. We had a young adult singles last year. We had a camp. It was only for adults. Singles. First time we'd ever done this in Colorado. We had a college girl there. This is in the summer, September. School hadn't started yet. And she was studying her college books in between our fun activities. And I said, why are you doing that? You're not in school yet. She said, well, I'm just trying to get a head start on my school. I thought, wow, this girl's impressive. She's investing in her time. She found a way that I'm not going to just waste my time. I'm going to have fun. I'm out here in the beautiful Colorado sun and we're having fun, but while I have this downtime, I'm going to do some studying. I'm investing in my time. Invest in your time. Invest in your time. Don't just find a way to invest in it. Don't just spend it. Stand for something, or you will fall for anything. If you don't take a stand, you'll fall for anything. That's That's what our politicians do sometimes. They don't really stand. Some of them do. But many of them don't necessarily stand for something. They'll stand for something to get your votes. I had a good friend. He had a politician, knock on the door, running for city council or something. Lol. Hello, sir. My name is Charlie Smith. I'm running for city council. I would like to know if I can get your vote. And my friend says, well, how do you feel about raising taxes? I think our taxes are too high. The politician says, I think you're right. I do too. Well, you know, what do you think about public schools? I think we need more money in public schools. They don't have enough for their desks and their equipment. The politician says, I couldn't agree with you more. Everything my friend said, the politician agreed with. Now, I can probably guess that he went to the next house, knocked on the door, hello, I'm Charlie Smith running for city council. And the lady next door says, what do you think about our taxes? I think they're too low. I think they need to be raised. And he probably said, I think you're right. And she might have said, what do you think about our schools? I think we spend too much money on our schools. He probably said, I think you're right about that. You know, you would take a stand to get your vote. And now, I say that as a joke. I pray for our politicians. I don't want to belittle them. I pray for them. We are told to pray for them. But you, as a person, stand for something. When you go to school, when you go to college, when you go to work, and someone says, hey, you know, let's go to this party, whatever, let's go do something bad. Take a stand. If you don't take a stand, you'll fall for anything. It's okay to say, no, I'm sorry, that's not right. That's wrong. Take a stand. Guard your thoughts, what you think you are. Don't fill up on the world's crumbs. Feed your soul on the living bread. Give your all to Jesus. He gave His all for you. Another little piece of personal advice. A young person normally needs an education or skills for the workforce. You know, you have to go into the workforce. You all do. We can't just sit around and watch TV. We have to work. And nowadays, you need skills, and you need a certain amount of education. Young people would do well to seek God about their employment and their career. A young person should get the education that they need to do their work. You need to get the education and skills you need to do your work. Now, if you are going to work on cars, you need to learn how to be a mechanic. You don't need an 8-year or 10-year doctorate degree in medicine to work in your car. What I'm saying is get the skills you need to do the job that you're doing. Don't go for this when you only need this, but don't go for this when you need this. Get the skills and the education you need to do the job that you like to do and that you need to do for your work. Don't look, and now I'm going to say something that all of the high school counselors are going to get mad when I say this. Don't look for the dream career. What's a dream career? Everyone says, follow your dreams. Follow your dreams, you know. Whatever you can dream, that job, just follow that dream. Don't follow that dream. Look for a job that you enjoy doing and get the education and skills you need to do it. Because dream jobs rarely turn out. Look for the job that you enjoy, that pays the bills, that adequately pays your bills. Now, you might have a dream job of building. You know what sand castles are? You take a shovel and a bucket and you make sand castles. You might have a dream job of going to the California coastline or the Trinidad coastline or Antigua and taking a bucket and shovels and making beautiful sand castles. Wouldn't that be a dream job? Just play on the beach, make giant sand castles. That could be your dream job. You might go to college and get a degree in sandcastle building. I don't know if they have a degree in that. They have degrees in the craziest things. We talked to a young man that got paid by the government to go to school, and he was taking, what's that dance, salsa dancing? Anyway, trying to get a job because you know how to dance salsa dancing. So your dream job might be building sandcastles. Okay. You get your degree, you spend $100,000, and you get your degree. How many jobs are there making sandcastles? Can you make money doing it? No. The point I'm getting at is the education, the knowledge, the skills, the training you need that will adequately pay your bills for something that you enjoy doing. Find a place, something you enjoy doing, and do it with all of your heart. There are a lot of dream jobs that they'll never come to pass. Now, you know, after being old, I know lots of people that have chased, spent lots of money, invested in lots of education, and things that never opened doors for them. That's why you want to look to the Lord and say, Lord, while I'm young, would you help me, direct me to find the type of work that I need to do with my mind, with my hands, with my talents? Help me, and then help me get the skills for it. If we were to interview everybody in this room that's, say, 40 and older, we would have a lot of stories of how God directed them. From this to this to this, and many times it's not in something that you ever thought you would be doing, but yet God has a way of providing. Look to the Lord to direct you and to guide you. Another little tip, make a choice not to follow or allow the philosophy of the world to steal your faith. The philosophy of the world will try to steal your faith. Don't let the world, the philosophy of the world, steal your faith. Do not be conformed to this world, Romans 12:2. Don't be conformed to the world. One translation says, don't let the world pour you into a mold. The world wants you to be a certain way. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Perfect will of God. Don't let the world pour you into that mold. Okay, I'm going to go to another little resource here. Give me 1 minute here. And I'm going to talk to you about successful people and unsuccessful people. The goal, our goal, is for everybody in this room to be successful. Successful in life. Everybody wants their kids to be successful, don't they? So we're going to talk very, very briefly about some habits, how to be successful. The first thing, of course, is it starts with your faith. If you don't have a faith, if you don't have a strong faith, and you're not on a foundation, you're like a ship in the ocean that has no direction. You know that little, what do you call the thing in the back? The tilt rudder. The rudder. It's like having a ship that has no rudder. You have no direction. You're just floating. We don't want you to float. Your faith, having a foundation, is the rudder that will guide you through life. That's number one. That's the absolute beginning. Every great building, this building, no exception. Every great building, before you do anything, you start digging down real deep and you pour a foundation. That's the first thing you do. So don't leave the building without a foundation. That's the first thing you have to do. Once again, if you don't have the foundation, everything else is lost. Even after you have the foundation, there's some things to do. Here's some habits of successful people compared to people that are unsuccessful. Successful people read every day. They read every day. Successful people read every day. Read whatever you want. Read the news if you want. Read the Bible every day. Read something that you learn something. Successful people are always reading. They're always gathering information, you know, learning something. Unsuccessful people watch TV every day. They watch TV every day. You know what it requires to watch TV? Nothing. You look at TV, including myself, and you get hypnotized, and then your mouth drops, and then you start to drool, and you're like comatose. You're lost. Requires no thought. We don't want that. It's okay. It's okay in its place, but read something. Successful people, this will surprise you. Successful people compliment other people every day. Unsuccessful people criticize people all the time. Successful people say, you know, I really like you, brother. You're a leader. I really love you, sister, for the qualities that you have. Unsuccessful people say, oh, you know, that Brother Snow, he talks too loud, and he tells jokes that no one laughs at, and they criticize. Successful people go to a restaurant, and the waiter says, how was your food? And they say, it was wonderful. Give my compliments to the chef. Unsuccessful people go to a restaurant and the waiter says, how was your food? They say, your food was horrible. I want to talk to the manager. That's the difference between successful people and unsuccessful people. Here's another one. Successful people embrace change. Unsuccessful people fear change. You're at work. You're at school. Okay, people, we're going to make a change in our policy. We're going to change the procedure at work. We're going to change the classroom. You embrace it. Not last night, the night before, I guess it was. We had in the morning, we had a change. We met over there. We embraced that change. You know, we didn't say, oh, what? We got to move over there. That would be criticizing. That's what unsuccessful people did. Now, I have to say, Brother Miller and Brother Matthew and I came in here early, and Brother Bernard came in, and I was setting up my camera. There's not a soul in here. You know, everyone was meeting over there. And then we noticed the microphone was gone, the speaker equipment was gone. We didn't know that we're meeting over there yet. And it's getting close to meeting time, and nobody's here. We were a little afraid that the rapture happened, and we got left behind. But you embrace change. You don't fear it. Here's a good one here. Successful people forgive others. Unsuccessful people hold a grudge. Hold a grudge sometimes for decades. Never quit. Never give up. Successful people, they forgive. And you know, in the Christian's heart, we need to learn to forgive one another, not once, not twice, not seven times, but 70 times seven. Because I'm going to give you some guarantees. We are human beings. We are fallen creatures. We will offend one another from time to time. It will happen. It's part of being a human being. We will say things that 5 seconds after you said it, you regret that you said it. And you will say things that will hurt other people. And sometimes you will say things you don't even know hurts other people. That's why we have to forgive. Because I forgive you because you are a human being. I forgive you because you are a fallen creature. I forgive you because we still have a sinful nature. A sinful nature that causes us to sin from time to time. We learn to forgive. Unsuccessful people, they never forget. They never forget, and they hold a grudge. They hold a grudge. Holding a grudge, I spoke about that in North Battleford, but holding a grudge against somebody is wanting them to be miserable because of what they did to you. Holding a grudge is wanting someone else to be unhappy, upset, because of what they did to you. Grudges never accomplish anything. Grudges is like drinking rat poison and hoping that the rat is going to die. You see a rat, you want to get rid of it? Do you drink rat poison? No. That's what holding a grudge is. There's something upsetting you and you're drinking the poison. So successful people forgive, unsuccessful people hold a grudge. Here's another great one. Successful people talk about ideas. Always have a good idea. Keep bringing those ideas out, you know. Live streaming or using that room over there or having some sporting activities, giving out medals for successful people at work, at school, they're always talking about ideas, keeping ideas coming to the forefront. Unsuccessful people talk about people. They don't talk about ideas, they talk about people. Bad things about people, not ideas, but about people. Successful people, they're continuously learning. Always learning, always reading, always learning, always wanting to know more, listening to camp tapes, reading books, going to school, talking to other people to get their minds. You know, years ago when I used to work at this company, I was fairly successful, I'm talking about ages ago, but I had a unique skill, if you want to call it that, that God gave me, and it was this: I was never real smart. I was never real smart, but I was clever. And this is what I did. I talked to a lot of people, and I got everybody else's ideas. But I was a guy that could put them together. That was the skill that I had. I would go, and I would never take credit for it. I would go with a particular problem and talk to the engineers and tool makers and this and that. I get everybody's idea, but I would just take them and put them together. They were the ones who were the experts. I just used their ideas and put them together. I didn't create the iPhone. I didn't create Facebook. I'm just using them, using someone else's idea. That's a skill, believe it or not. And as human beings, listen to people. Continually learn. That's one of the successful people attributes. Continuously learn. Now, the unsuccessful people aren't continually learning. They're just the opposite. They think they know it all. An unsuccessful person is one that says, well, I know it all. I don't need to hear that. I know it all. Successful people continuously learn. Unsuccessful people think they know it all. Here's another good one. Successful people accept responsibility for their failures. Okay, once again, if you are a human being sitting in this room, there's going to be a number of times in your life you're going to fail. You're going to make a mistake. It comes with the territory. So what do? You accept it. Accept responsibility. Who spilt the milk? I did. Who did this or that? I'm sorry. I did. Unsuccessful people blame others for their failure. Unsuccessful people, it's never their fault. They're always blaming somebody else. Let's don't be like that. Let's don't blame anybody else. Successful people, this is another good contrast. Successful people have a sense of gratitude. Successful people have a sense of gratitude. They're always grateful. Always grateful. Having an attitude of gratitude. Successful people have an attitude of gratitude. They're grateful at school. They're grateful at work. They're grateful at church. They're grateful at the restaurant. They're just grateful for everything. Oh, I'm so glad we got these nice chairs to sit in. I'm so glad we have nice air conditioning. I'm so glad we have the lights. The power goes off. So what do successful people do? I'm so glad we have candle lights that we can use. You're always grateful for something. Now, successful people have a sense of gratitude. The last one, or unsuccessful people have a sense of entitlement. Unsuccessful people have a sense of entitlement. What does that mean? That means you think that everybody owes you. I'm entitled to have this air conditioning. And if I don't have air conditioning, I'm entitled to it. I'm not going to accept candles at night. I'm entitled to have lights. That's unsuccessful people. You know what we're entitled to, really? Nothing. Nothing. Anything above nothing is a blessing. We are thankful for the chairs we sit on. We are thankful for the clothes we wear. We are thankful for the food we eat. We're thankful for the electricity. I'm thankful for my toothbrush. I wake up in the morning and I say, thank you, Lord, for my toothbrush. We're not entitled to anything. We're grateful for everything. Successful people are grateful for everything that they have. Unsuccessful people have a sense of entitlement that the world owes me. This is the last one here, and it's a very simple one and very effective. Successful people set goals. They make lists. They make life plans. Successful people set goals. Unsuccessful people never set a goal. It's amazing how effective goals are, a list. For instance, anything. You can apply that to anything. You're going to go to work. Take a piece of paper in the morning. Okay, I'm at work. Today, these are some of my goals today. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. And then when you do them, you check them off. It's amazing how successful that will make you. You wouldn't think it would. It makes you extremely successful because you have set goals for your life. I'm going to go to church camp. What's going to be my goal? Well, I want to learn everything I can. So how do I do that? Okay, I'm going to make notes. That's how I'm going to do it. What's another goal? Well, I'm going to be the fastest person during sports. Okay, that's one of your goals, that's okay. But you make goals. One of your goals might be, when I come to camp, I've been talking to brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. I want to go and have a personal visit with that person. You know, write it down. No matter what it is, set goals. When the brethren go to visit a church, an area, take a piece of paper, write down some goals. What are some of the goals that you hope to achieve? We're going to negotiate a contract for a church camp. Before you go, what's your goals? Well, I have this good price. It's got to have air conditioning and, you know, good bathroom facility. Lists, making goals. It's unbelievable how successful that makes people. And no matter what you're doing, a housewife wakes up, everyone's gone off to school and to work, takes a piece of paper, what are my goals today? I'm going to get the vacuum the floor. I'm going to wash the dishes. I'm going to do the laundry. You make a list. You don't just wait for something to hit you. Okay, maybe I'll do this, but you set goals. So anyway, those are tips for successful people and unsuccessful people. So I think what we're going to do, I think we're going to pause here for about 10 minutes. This is kind of classroom time, and then we're going to have a little break, and then we'll have something else. So we'll take a break for about 10 minutes here. God bless you.